walk all the chimneys back at the
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
I am Seth Merrow. This is Racing Across America. Thanks for joining us on this Sunday morning. As usual on a Sunday, we will recap some of the action from yesterday and look ahead as well, because there's some nice racing a little north of the border at Woodbine again this weekend. The E.P. Taylor and the Arctic come up this afternoon. So a little bit later on in the show, we'll be joined by Ernie Perry, clocker up there at Woodbine, get some opinions from him. Also, we'll spend a couple of minutes with Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. They have an event coming up this week online. You can check out to learn a little bit more about the good work they do. And we always like to tout the TRF, because it's important to take care of the thoroughbreds after the racing career. But some of the good work that the TRF does involves not just the horses, but humans as well. And so when you can combine a couple of good things like that, always important. So as I say, they have a little event coming up a little bit later on that we will tout as well. But as always, we'll start with some stakes recaps. Do want to remind you, however, that as always, Sundays during the football season, you can come on down. Clubhouse Racebook, football Sundays, wear a jersey, get in for free, maybe a winner jersey. Put your name on one of the squares. You can win a jersey or a restaurant voucher. It's always a lot of fun here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany, every Sunday during the NFL football season. Also want to tout you, reservations are available for Breeders' Cup Saturday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. You can reserve a seat for $5, and you also get nice-looking glass there as well. So keep that in mind if you'd like to reserve a seat for Breeders' Cup Saturday. Check out the website for more information. You can obviously come down here and reserve your seat at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, let's jump in and take a look at some of yesterday's action. And it was a little light on the stakes side. I have some stakes from last week. If we have time, we'll maybe plug some of those in as well. But at Belmont yesterday, it was the Sands Point. These were three-year-old fillies going a mile and an eighth on the grass. And I liked Higher Truth. Chad Brown, and he had a couple in there. Higher Truth, and he also had Fluffy Socks. I had Higher Truth on top. I had Fluffy Socks in the third slot, and in between those two, I had Harajuku, who was the Grand Motion runner. And as they come down the stretch, it will be the other Chad Brown. Fluffy Socks, the number 7, getting it done. 4-1 price with Joel Rosario on board. Runaway Rumor, the number 4 at 12-1, completes the exacta. You can see it's kind of a ding-dong finish here with a few of them eligible. Higher Truth, the horse I liked, and the betting public did as well at 6-5, winds up third in here. But as I say, it's a ding-dong finish, and kind of splitting horses and getting up to get it done was Fluffy Socks. Chad Brown, head of Plains Partners, as I said, Joel Rosario, came in on some improving numbers, and certainly I said yesterday I had the horse in the mix. Didn't have a win so far this year as a three-year-old. Certainly had a promising two-year-old season last year with 3 wins and 5 starts. But the last couple of starts before yesterday, a good third in the Del Mar Oaks and a good second in the Lake George. Now, the second in the Lake George behind Technical Analysis was, as I say, a good race that led into that third at Del Mar. So the finishing position went the wrong way. But the buyers were moving in the right direction. So just seemed to be maybe primed for a good effort and got it yesterday with a really nice ride from Joel Rosario, who continues to have just kind of a fabulous 2021. Chad Brown, Joel Rosario, getting it done in the Sands Point for, again, the three-year-old fillies. And I always talk about the three-year-olds on the grass. I typically talk about the males, a subdivision I like quite a bit. But there's similar. I like the three-year-old males on the turf because there is a nice series of races, really from the start of the season to the end of the season, at various venues around the country. And it's fairly similar on the three-year-old girls' side as well. And yesterday it was Fluffy Sox getting it done in the Sands Point. Moving on to Keeneland yesterday and the QE2, three-year-old fillies out there as well on the grass. $500,000 up for grabs in a grade one event. The aforementioned technical analysis, who not only won the Lake George over Fluffy Sox at Saratoga, but went on to win the Lake Placid at Saratoga as well. I had that one underneath. I put Empress Josephine on top, the Aiden O'Brien runner, who was coming back on 1 week's rest, but had run very well against Older last week in the First Lady. I said when I handicapped the race, though, I put the horse on top, but this was not a European move. They don't turn, I mean, American trainers don't do it these days either, but even stranger for European trainers to turn around that quickly. So I had a little bit of trepidation on Empress Josephine. She's the four horse, and you can see she the trepidation was well-founded as at the 2-1 favorite, Empress Josephine, the four horse. You can see her fading through the field and winds up last in the field of nine. But it is Shanna Sara getting it done for Chad Brown. Running second, technical analysis for Chad Brown. 5-2 and 3-1 there for the Chad Brown exacta. Burning Ambition runs third. But for the second weekend in a row out in Lexington, Chad Brown exacta, Shanna Sara over technical analysis, and you wound up with $22.40 for the exacta. There was a little more value in last week's exacta and a little more value in that crazy Chad Brown exacta last week in New York, which paid quite a bit. But I laughed last week because you had the big payoff on a Chad Brown exacta in a New York stake last week. And you know, it always happens. It happens up at Saratoga. Todd Pletcher horse will win at a big price or a Chad. I mean, I'll say, how could this horse get away at that price? And after the big exacta down in New York last week, everybody is saying, oh, Chad Brown exacta. How did it get away at a price like that? And it was about an hour later it happened again at Keeneland. And in New York, it paid over 100, I think. Now in Keeneland, it paid $70 or $80, which was still pretty good. But even after the hint, we all didn't jump on board that. But as I say, yesterday, the Chad Brown exacta, a little more reasonable price-wise with the $22, but as they were the second and the third choices. But Empress Josephine, that was not an inspiring performance after the good third last week against Older. Ran third to blow out and Regal Glory, the Chad Brown exacta there. But again, the quick turnaround, just not a European Aiden O'Brien type of performance, type of strategy, and leads into a disappointing last place finish yesterday at Keeneland. All right, also yesterday we had Joe Clancy on with us because Far Hills, the nice jump meet down in New Jersey, love to go down there. It looks like a lot of fun. But three of those races yesterday were part of the cross country pick five. And so I thought we'd get Joe in to talk a little bit about it. Did a great job. He gave us, in the Grand National, you had to choose between Snap Decision and the Mean Queen. But then Joe's top pick that he touted to us in the next two races won. So if you were using Joe's thoughts, you could have helped yourself out in that cross-country pick five. But I wanted to show, and again, you know, that they're 2 5/8 miles, so I didn't want to show the whole thing. We'll kind of pick it up going into the final turn and take a look and a listen to it. Because I said it, you know, going into the race, when you have a couple of big names in any venue, at any venue, in any division, you hope that they line up at the top of the stretch or late in the race on the jump side of things. And Snap Decision and the Mean Queen put on a great show last time in the Lonesome Glory. You were hoping for more of the same yesterday in the Grand National, kind of the highlight of the jump season, the last grade one there, and typically has an important implication on Eclipse Awards on the steeplechase side of things. Jack Fisher, long been over, you know, the last decade or so, top jump trainer. Carrie Breon, who we had on up at Saratoga after her nice Saratoga meet up there, an up-and-comer clearly on the jump training side, having learned her trade from Jonathan Shepherd. She was an assistant to him. The Mean Queen last time in the Lonesome Glory won over Snap Decision, who took most of the took all of the summer off, essentially, but had a 9-race win streak snapped on that return in the Lonesome Glory last time by the Mean Queen. The Mean Queen comes into the race yesterday with the win in the Jonathan Shepherd up at Saratoga, the win over Snap Decision in the Lonesome Glory. But Snap Decision took the summer off. That second place finish last time could have been attributed to the layoff, and maybe the horse had a little rust. So was that going to be the situation? Was Snap Decision going to be sharper, or is the Mean Queen just this good? We were hoping to find that out with a little battle yesterday, and that's the way it shook out. So we'll kind of pick it up. Yesterday down at Fire Hills, the Grand National Grade 1 event, the Mean Queen versus Snap Decision in a small field of four, but they were the two that certainly attracted all the attention. We will watch them go into the far turn and come around down the stretch at Fire Hills yesterday in the Grand National, and it lived up to expectations.
Turn. Amchel, who has set the pace throughout, has given way to third. So no surprises. The battle we expected, the battle we were waiting for, comes to the top of the stretch and the final fence here. And Snap Decision has run up alongside of the Mean Queen. And the two of them turn for home in the Grand National. They're side by side. These two nemesis, Snap Decision and the Mean Queen. The Mean Queen's got it on the inside. Snap Decision on the outside. Oh, they're putting on a show. Here's the wire. It is the Mean Queen by a half a length over Snap Decision in a thriller. It was a long way back to Amchel in third.
Lived up to expectations again down the stretch. Great call by Larry Colmus, who was calling the races down there at Fire Hills, and the Mean Queen gets it done. That's two races in a row where, as I say, whatever the division, whatever the venue, you hope that big races like this live up to the hype and you get the showdowns you expect, and it happened yesterday. So the Mean Queen now 2-for-2 in the last two races versus Snap Decision. Carrie Breon, I was listening to some of the post-race commentary, the interviews done with her down there after the race, and she says, and I don't think it's bragging or anything, she says she expects an Eclipse Award for this horse. I think that is without question now. You know, the Grade 1 Shepherd, the Grade 1 Lonesome Glory, the Grade 1 Grand National to end the season with a couple of wins over Snap Decision, who is otherwise the leader in the division. So Carrie Breon also said, you know, when I kind of started on my own, which was just in the past year or so, I thought it'd be nice if within 5 years if I could have an Eclipse winning jumper. And I think in her first year, she's going to wind up with a Mean Queen and an Eclipse trophy that she can put on her mantelpiece. So it was the human stories were kind of fun, too. But as I say, it played out as well as you could expect over the past two races for these two. I like the steeplechase races. I like them up at Saratoga. And certainly when they play out like this, regardless of flats or jumps, when you can get a couple of horses that face off like that, that stretch run was really fun yesterday down at Fire Hills. And as I say, I'd love to go. I said when we talked to Joe yesterday, had Brian Addo on, excuse me, the handicapper's report yesterday. He has been to Fire Hills, and he kind of described it as Woodstock at the races. And that's what it looks like. Big crowd, lots of fun. And love to go down there. And as I said yesterday, it's only about 2.5 hours from here. So maybe mark it on your calendar for next year. I'd love to go down and take it in because it looks like it is some kind of event. Joe said 30 to 40,000 people show up, and it's all charity based. And but as I say, yesterday's races turned out, the Grand National at least turned out to be a lot. Oh, I mentioned also earlier on the card, our friend Sean Clancy, who sits in with us a lot up at Saratoga. Joe and Sean do, and Tom Law from the Saratoga Special. But we had Joe on yesterday, and he talked a little bit about Sean's horses in the first two races. And sure enough, Sean and his River D Stable won the second race yesterday at Fire Hill. So congratulations to them. All right, I wanted to show, as I said, there was, you know, it was kind of light stakes-wise around here yesterday, but last Sunday wanted to pull up, and we'll show the entire race here, because again, you talk about the Mean Queen maybe having solidified an eclipse. I have to think last week in the Spinster, Letruska did the same thing. I mean, Letruska came into the Spinster with, three grade one wins already this year. She was 5 for 6 coming into the race last weekend this year, including the Personal Ensign, the Florida Lee, the Ogden Phipps, the Apple Blossom. Earlier this year, she had won the Houston Ladies Classic, a grade three event, but three grade ones, a grade two win as well, and a grade three, and comes into the grade one Spinster last weekend, vying for the $500,000 purse against a total field of 6. There was one scratch in there. She went off as the 2-5 favorite. Dunbar Road went off at 9-2 as the second choice. That was the Chad Brown runner that certainly had shown some talent throughout the career. $1.2 million for Dunbar Road. Now a 5-year-old, and in 3 starts this year, hadn't lived up to the earlier promise necessarily, but had run a very close-up 4th last time in the Personal Ensign behind Letruska and Bonnie South. Bonnie South also in last week's Spinster. En Voutant was one of the runners amongst the field last week, too. But under Irod Ortiz, as I say, you would have to think, regardless of Breeders' Cup results, you would have to think Letruska probably solidified an Eclipse Award for 2021. Let's take a look. The entire race, this is a week ago, last Sunday down at Keeneland, the Grade 1 Spinster, purse $500,000. Letruska will be the number 4 horse in here. Take it away.
And they're off in the Judd Mott Spinster. There goes Letruska. As expected, Letruska right to the front of the opening strides. En Voutant comes away in 2nd. Crystal Ball is away 3rd up on the outside. Town Avenger comes away in 4th. Dunbar Road is 5th. And Bonnie South last of the 6 as they move into the first turn. Letruska the leader. Letruska gets down next to the rail and saves ground around the turn now, leading it by 3 lengths. En Voutant is 2nd by just a head. And then Town Avenger is 3rd by a length and a half. Crystal Ball 4th a neck just outside of Dunbar Road. Bonnie South is last. 24 seconds flat was the time for the opening quarter. On to the backstretch here at Keeneland in the Judd Mott Spinster, and Letruska shows the way. Letruska on top 3.5 lengths. En Voutant 2nd ahead. Town Avenger is there in 3rd toward the inside and now contesting that 2nd position once again. Crystal Ball is 4th, another length and a half behind that pair. Dunbar Road, Bonnie South at the back, 5 lengths covers the field after an opening half mile in 47.89 seconds. Letruska leads by a length to the far turn. Town Avenger, En Voutant between horses, Crystal Ball to the far outside. Three-way shuffle for 2nd continues, a length and a half behind Letruska. Bonnie South, Dunbar Road, side by side at the back. Around the far turn, Letruska in front by 2, by 2.5, by 3 lengths now. Crystal Ball being asked for more in 2nd. Dunbar Road, Bonnie South move as a team out to the center of the track. Top of the stretch, tall task ahead to try to catch Letruska. Letruska leads it by 4 lengths coming to the 8th pole. Dunbar Road to 2nd, Bonnie South in 3rd. Final furlong of the Judd Mott Spinster. Letruska chased all the way by Dunbar Road and Bonnie South. Letruska's already past the 16th pole. Letruska by 3. Letruska and Irod Ortiz Jr. to win the Judd Mott Spinster by 2.5 lengths over Dunbar Road. Bonnie South was 3rd. The time, 1 minute 49.01 seconds.
She's just phenomenal. I mean, again, it's hard to see how she doesn't win the Eclipse. Now 6 for 7 this year and really kind of dancing every dance. Started, as I say, down at Sam Houston in that Houston Ladies Classic in January, then the Azari in March, April the Apple Blossom, June the Phipps, June also the Fleur-de-Lis, August the Personal Ensign up at Saratoga, and now here we are in October down at Keeneland. So been going all year long, put together just a fabulous campaign, a 101 buyer. She now has 5 straight triple-digit buyer figures under her belt. So just, as I say, a phenomenal campaign, and it will be hard to believe that regardless of what happens in a few weeks at the Breeders' Cup, she doesn't have an Eclipse Award as the older filly and mare. Latruska, big win last week, 1 week ago down at Keeneland. All right, I'm going to head to a break. When we come back, our friend Kim Weir will join us. As they say, the TRF Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation has a little bit of an online event coming up this week that we wanted to alert you to and more. A little bit later on in the show, don't forget Ernie Perry from Woodbine will join us. They have the E.P. Taylor coming up this afternoon. We'll get some thoughts on that as well. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Breeders' Cup World Championships have given us some of horse racing's biggest thrills and biggest payouts, like the $2.7 million Pick 6 payout back in 2003. With a long list of betting options, it's never taken so little to win so much. So don't miss your chance to share in Thoroughbred Racing's richest event, the Breeders' Cup. And be sure to go to CapitalOTBBet.com to wager and win.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku, try it now.
I was in a not so good place for myself. I lost my husband, things happened, and I lost myself. I didn't know who I was anymore until I came back out here and rediscover myself and know who I am again. And it's amazing. And actually look in the mirror and like who you are. And, they rely on you every day. They're here waiting for us every day. When we come down the hill in the morning, you see them, just you know exactly where they are, and they're waiting for you, and it just brings such a joy. It's just a joy.
Nice promotional video for the Lowell Horse Show, TRF Lowell Horse Show, that's coming up online a little bit later this week, and I wanted to give our friend Kim Weir a chance to tout that a little bit, because it outlines some of what the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation does. And as I said at the top of the show, a lot of their great work doesn't just benefit the horses, but benefits the humans as well. So again, I thought we'd take a few minutes to alert folks to that. Kim, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. It is great to be with you today on chilly Saratoga Sunday morning.
Before we get to the Lowell Horse Show, I know you were out in Lexington recently, within the past week and a half or so. How was the trip to Kentucky?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was a 2-week whirlwind, and I saw many of our horses and many of the wonderful people who care for them and who support them, and it was a really great trip. I got to get to Keeneland opening weekend. I got to be at Blackburn with a bunch of guests, including Dale Romans, who will tell you, Dale and Tammy caught me on the backstretch right by your tent this summer. It was probably towards the end of the, and Dale said, "Kim, I want to go see that program you've got at the prison in Lexington." I said, "Dale, we're going to make that happen." And it did. So we had some wonderful moments. It was a great, great trip. But it's always good to come home to Saratoga, especially because there's actually horses here right now at the Fasig Tipton Pavilion, which is where I was this morning.
Nice, nice. You're always around the horses. And yeah, when you said, Dale said, I wanted, I thought, well, saying that to you, it's going to happen. So it's good to know. Yeah, that.
Be careful what you say. I'll hunt you down and make it happen.
Let's talk a little bit about, though, again, we saw the video, nice promotional video for the event that's coming up this week. So again, as I say, we like to tout the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation as a charity people can look to if they're looking to donate to racing-related charities, because, yes, it's always great to know that our thoroughbreds that we enjoy during their racing careers have that good retirement. You guys take care of that. But there's a human element to a lot of the work the TRF does too, and that's going to tie in to what comes up this week. Talk a little bit about the event.
I am so glad to do this. On Thursday this week, it's the 21st of October, we are going to welcome everyone with an open heart and head to see the program inside our farm in Ocala, Florida. So we use the magic of technology, just like me being here with you today. It'll feel just like we're sitting together. But at 8 o'clock on Thursday, just by clicking a simple link, the world can come in and join us at the TRF Second Chances program in Ocala, which is a celebration. For us, this whole event, it is nothing short of a celebration of 20 years, over two decades, that our horses have been serving as teachers at this correctional institution in Ocala. We are so grateful to the correctional partners that have enabled that to happen, to the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association, which has supported the program for years and years. And we finally get to actually show it to everybody. So that is what will happen. I will say I will be your hostess with the mostest. Me and Lonnie Powell, the president of the FTVOA, will be the hosts at the top of the show. And then for about 20 minutes, we will bring you inside to see the horses, to hear the women. My little tagline is see it, hear it, feel it, because these women just open their hearts and they just share their stories, as you saw a little bit earlier in our little piece there. We just get to show you what it is, and it's everything from fixing fences to trimming the horse's hooves to feeding them to grooming them. It's everything. And then afterwards, we'll have a few special guests join us to talk about it. We're really honored that Mark Cassie will be joining us, and Niall Brennan, who actually has hired several of our graduates. So it'll be a fun way to spend a Thursday evening wherever you are, in any comfortable chair with any version of beverage. You can just sit there, and it's the easy way to go to prison. Let me tell you, you can go, you can watch, you can learn, and then you can think about it and tell all your friends. That's what our plan is.
Yeah, as I say, a big thumbs up to you and the entire organization for the work that you do. Again, not just for the horses, but in these kind of settings for the humans as well. And how many of these outfits do you have around the country? Because you mentioned Blackburn, that this will concentrate the Lowell Horse Show. Here in New York, we have Wallkill as well. How many of these TRF-associated prison outfits are there?
Yeah, so we call it our TRF Second Chances program, and it operates in 8 different correctional facilities around the country. So 8 is a great number, and I'm excited to say that next time I'm sitting on set with you in Saratoga, that number may be higher. But they are from California. It was actually 2 years ago today that we cut the ribbon on our first California program, my home state. Facebook just reminded me of that. And then our most recent program was opened this year, and it was right there in Ocala using the very same horses that you just saw in the video. They are also teaching young men at a juvenile justice program, which is our first ever juvenile justice program that we opened this year. So we have 8 is your answer, but we are hopeful, and we have lots of things in process where that number may grow. And the more programs we have, the more horses we can take care of, and the more lives we can change. So it's an exciting time to show folks just what it looks like. That's the hard part, is showing it. So that's what we're going to do on Thursday.
And again, the TRF website is trfinc.org, T-R-F-I-N-C there. We have it on the screen now. So folks can visit the website for more information as well. But just remind us once again, if people are interested in joining you on Thursday, how do they do it?
Yeah, it's as simple as sit down and click on our website, trfinc.org. That will take you to our event page, and it's a YouTube video. You're basically watching a link on YouTube. There's no tickets. You don't have to buy anything. It's not a fundraiser. If you'd like to RSVP and get a reminder from me, you know how much I love reminding people of things. You can click a little button and get a reminder an hour beforehand. But all you need to do is 8 o'clock, go to our website, and I promise you'll be glad you did.
Very good. So that comes up this week, but I went to the website, and I note people also might be interested with the holiday season coming up. You have an online auction next month as well, so folks might find some items there to bid on and hopefully win coming up, as I say, about a month away.
Yeah, no, thank you for that, Seth. It is really fun. There's some cool stuff. I brought home a maximum security hat from Coolmore, and I brought home a Tis the Law hat from Coolmore. So those will be in the auction. There's really cool stuff in the online auction, and it happens right around Thanksgiving. So you can do all your Christmas shopping for all your favorite racing fan friends and family.
All right. Well, we will have to remind folks of that as well. And I'm glad you reminded us. Certainly, it's worth mentioning to folks as well. Tomorrow is the FASIC fall auction for folks who can't get enough of the racing season. There's a little more horse action every year now. Well, it's been a while now since they've been doing this fall auction, but that's tomorrow. Are you going to head up there? Because I'll swing by for a while.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was there this morning because I actually have to say it's one of my favorite breakfast sandwiches in town is at the little coffee bar at Basic Tipton. So I highly recommend. I have two downstairs waiting for me. I will totally be there. And the fun thing about it is that it's the weanlings. Oh my gosh. I mean, I love them all, but weanlings, they're so cute. So I already saw our friends from Blue Streak Racing there this morning, and I saw Mr. Bush, Thomas Bush was there. You know, the gang's all here. So please come visit. And the sale's tomorrow.
Ah, very good. And again, trfinc.org. Learn more about the charity, all encompassing. But check out the event coming up a little bit later this week. The TRF Second Chances at Lowell Horse Show. That's coming up on the 21st at 8 p.m. Kim, as always, appreciate the visit. Great to talk to you, and maybe I'll see you tomorrow at the auction.
I'd love it. Thanks so much for having me, Seth. Y'all have a great day and good luck racing.
Appreciate it, Kim Weir from the TRF. And again, check out the website for not only more information on the event this week, but more information overall. There's the address right there, trfinc.org. All right, we'll take another break when we come back. I think we'll have time to squeeze in a few more replays and then move on to Ernie and get some thoughts for this afternoon. So a little more preview and a little more review on Racing Across America. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Yesterday, it was Racing Across the World as we showed some of the races from Ascot yesterday, British Champions Day, and it was a big day of racing over there. Unfortunately, a couple of Snowfall, Palace Pier, Mishriff, all kind of disappointed, the big names that we were looking for. But, and I don't know if the guys in the control room, I didn't call for the replay, but if you can pull up the QE2 yesterday and watch Baid, if we can't, that's fine. But I just, and they say they'll get it, so I'll just keep... I will keep vamping until we get that. But I wanted to show that because the horse to beat here was Palace Pier, who was 9-for-10 in the career. The lone loss, however, was last year in this very race. So Palace Pier, clearly with that record, was still the horse to beat. I said Baid, the undefeated 3-year-old, I had read earlier this week in the Sporting Life, which is a racing publication over in Europe. They had described Baid as the young pretender. Well, the pretender wasn't pretending yesterday. Baid got it done to run the record to 6-for-6. Baid is going to be the number 6 horse here, and as I say, will get it done in yesterday's Mile Queen Elizabeth II Group 1 event on a card that was just loaded, British Champions Day. It's going to be interesting to see what they do going forward with Baid. I mean, this is a horse, again, only six starts. They've all been this year, however. So do they wrap up on the horse, or do they think, hey, let's try the Breeders' Cup Mile? I haven't read any follow-up, so I'm not sure what they're thinking. But certainly this son of See the Stars out of a King Mambo mayor looked pretty good yesterday getting it done. Palace Pier, the number four, disappoints. Again, Palace Pier coming in with the 9-for-10 record. It was hard to see this one not running very, very well, but does disappoint. And does so, again, in a quirky fashion in the same race that was the only loss of the career coming into this. So Palace Pier is now 9-for-11, and the two losses are in this race to QE2. But we will see. It's a nice run from Baid to get it done here and get the victory to keep, as I say, the record undefeated. Six wins in six career starts for the three-year-old. William Haggis trains, Crowley riding, and gets it done there by about a head, a neck. Nice performance there over Palace Pier, who runs second. And running third in there was Lady Beaufort. So, again, it was a nice race from Baid to get it done, to keep the record undefeated. But again, it was a quirky situation where the two defeats of the career for Palace Pier, both in this very race. All right, let's take a look. Again, wanted to show some of the action from last week that we didn't get a chance to review so far. Let's take a look at last week's Keeneland Turf Mile, Grade 1 event, $750,000 up for grabs. As the title suggests, they're going a mile on the grass. This was a pretty competitive race. I took a little shot with number 7, Pixelate. That one went off at 9-1 and split the field, ran 7th in the field of 12. So I didn't get a particularly good run out of that one. Order of Australia, who went off as the 6-5 favorite. This is the horse that won the Breeders' Cup Mile last year. Order of Australia, number 10, winds up last in the field of 12. But the winner here will be number 3, In Love. Goes out off at 12-1 from a 20-1 morning line. Gets it done by a length and a half. Tell Your Daddy, the number 5, for second. Some Like It Hot Brown. And I think Some Like It Hot Brown was the horse Brian Addo was going with on the handicapper support last week. That one, a New York bred, winds up 3rd in here. A 103 buyer for In Love. And we're watching the stretch run here. In Love, the number 3 horse again. Tell Your Daddy, 5, 13, Some Like It Hot Brown, and 6, Ivar, runs 4th. But again, 12-1 over 29-1. And it's a pretty much of a blanket finish. I mean, the winner pulls away a little bit, but then the margins are a half ahead, a neck and a half. There was a little bit of a scrum there. But at 12-1, as they say, In Love gets it done for Paulo Lobo. I'm just checking the exact that for a buck, it was $360. No surprise with a $24 winner over a 29-1 shot getting it done in the Keeneland Turf Mile last week. We'll take another break. If we have a chance, we'll get to a couple other of those results from last week at Keeneland. But it's time to take the break. And as I mentioned earlier, a couple of nice races up at Woodbine this afternoon, the E.P. Taylor and in the Arctic. So I thought we'd reach out to Ernie Perry, the clocker at Woodbine, to give us some thoughts on those races. So we'll take a break. We will reach out to Ernie Perry. We'll come back in a few. Stay tuned.
The Breeders' Cup World Championships have given us some of horse racing's biggest thrills and biggest payouts, like the $2.7 million Pick 6 payout back in 2003. With a long list of betting options, it's never taken so little to win so much. So don't miss your chance to share in Thoroughbred Racing's richest event, the Breeders' Cup. And be sure to go to CapitalOTBBet.com to wager and win.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America, Racing Across North America this morning, because north of the border at Woodbine this afternoon, a couple of nice races, including the Grade 1 E.P. Taylor. So I thought we'd reach out to the clocker up at Woodbine, Ernie Perry, and get some thoughts on the racing this afternoon. Ernie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Seth. How are you doing today?
Very good. Happy to talk to you. Normally on a lot of the big weekends, we'd be up there and see you in person. But, of course, over the last year, year and a half or so, we haven't made the trips. I've talked to Ron Gierkink a couple of times over the past couple of months, but I'll get your thoughts. What's the season been like up there? And I know things have been changing just as they have down here pretty much over, you know, going back to January. Things have changed quite a bit back and forth in various ways. But give us your thoughts on the racing season so far up at Woodbine, given the pandemic situation this year.
Yeah, we're just starting to get back now. We've opened up a bit to full capacity, so that's great news. But, you know, the racing's been good still. We provide big fields. Our turf courses have been well-kept and good. From a handle standpoint, I think we've been doing fine. So, you know, with betting online and through your different devices, it hasn't changed too much, but I'm starting to notice the crowds are coming back a bit more.
That's what we like to hear, and we certainly would love to get back up there maybe next year, Queen's Plate and whatnot, see you guys in person, because it's always fun and it's a great facility. It's not that far of a drive for us, so hopefully next year we're back in person. But again, great racing this afternoon. Love to get some thoughts from you, the E.P. Taylor. Nice full field in here. Some names that are familiar on the trainer and the jockey side to those of us down here. Chad Brown has a runner. Christoph Clement, Joel Rosario's riding, Dylan Davis, Irad Ortiz. Going to be a fun afternoon up there. And to kind of preview the E.P. Taylor, I pulled up a replay of the Dance Smartly going back to August 22nd. We're going to look at Muta Makina win this, a 12-second, Mervalo third in here. They're going to be the 6, the 5, and the 2 as we watch them come down the stretch. They're all back on Sunday afternoon, as well as some other interesting players in here. Also, the winner of the Canadian La Dragontea for Christoph Clement, maybe the notable amongst those. What are your thoughts this afternoon in the E.P. Taylor?
So the good news is that we are running on the E.P. Taylor. These are the only two races we'll be running today on the E.P. Taylor. Obviously, the E.P. Taylor and the Nearctic. All other races are taken off. So by the time you know, rolls around race 8, we should be good. It's beautiful outside. Obviously, it's going to be, if I had to guess right now, haven't got an official, but yielding to soft. We've had a lot of rain lately. And the talk is Walkia, the one horse, is quite prefers that type of surface. So, you know, this one won a grade 3 last time out. I'm partial a little more to the Chad Brown horse myself of Great Island. I think this one is peaking at this time. I love the fact that it's had four works. Hernandez won this race last year, ironically with a 12, but he's getting on this one here. So, you know, it's going to be a question of the turf, the soft turf, who's going to take to it and who's not. And that's a big, big question when you're trying to put together a ticket.
Yeah, and that's the nice thing about this race. Typically you draw some Europeans. You've done so again this year. And that adds, as you say, to the handicapping puzzle, and some of these coming over from Europe tend to have a little more experience over those kind of surfaces. Again, La Dragontea coming out of the Canadian last time, which I assume would be thought of as maybe a prep for this?
Yeah, and, you know, the course was actually good that day. It is a prep, but it is shorter, a mile and an eighth, and now we're moving out to a mile and a quarter. And, you know, took a lot of money that day, and Rosario comes back to ride. The race before at Saratoga, two of the van on a yielding course. So I think this one will like the condition. It's a question of she is facing much tougher in this race.
It, as I say, it is a nice field. It's a full field. And, as again, some familiar faces and the human and the equine side. Let's move on a little later on the program. We have the Nearctic race number 10 this afternoon. And in preview of that, I pulled up the Woodbine Mile. Boy, Town Cruise looked really good in here. Town Cruise, the number one horse, went off at 8-1, but did not look like it, taking them all the way around in here. And looks off of that to be kind of tough. With the 104 buyer figure, looks kind of tough this afternoon as well as the Nearctic. What do you think in this six furlong turf sprint?
So this horse has come back to work very fast, 47-1. It was quite a nice work, actually. And it was on the trail to go to the Breeders, right? But, you know, decided to stay here. I just have a big concern on the cutback and distance. You know, going a mile, this horse will make those fractions and kind of get its own way. But there's going to be a lot of speed in here to go with that one. So I don't know if he's going to take back or what the plan is. But just a short price and the cutback to six just really, really concerns me. And, you know, I just think there's a lot of good options here.
What direction do you get pulled in?
Myself, who do I like here?
Yeah.
I like as a long shot, Jolie Olympica, the filly for Josie Carroll.
Oh, I like that.
You know, I love the cutback here, and this horse has been training lights out. So, you know, ran a couple of times without Lasix, gets back on the Lasix program, which I think is very important for this horse. And I just like the cutback, and I know it's a filly against the boys, but, you know, didn't like that. Had no response last time at a mile going, but I think the cutback and Joel Rosario is a big key.
I will say Town Cruise has some early speed, but Admiralty Pier tends to show some speed too. It's going to be interesting to see how the pace scenario plays out at this six furlong trip. And, you know, maybe a horse, Avi's Flatter to me looks like one that maybe could kind of sit the trip and make a little late run, another runner from Josie Carroll.
Yeah, I agree. I think that one wants to go a bit shorter than the mile, so that one can sit. Reconfigure is going to show a lot of speed, and obviously Momos. So, you know, again, depending on how that track's playing, and it's quite a bit of speed going a shorter distance. So, you know, like you said, actually Admiralty appears quite versatile because in the Highlander, this one closed from way back, so... you know, that one's versatile and can go either way.
And I'm just pulling up here. I just wanted to get some thoughts before we let you go. I'm pulling up the record because I was looking at the PPs here and Reconfigure, trained by Robert Tiller, and I wanted to pull up the recent results for Pink Lloyd. And, yeah, it was just, a couple of weeks ago, won the Bold Venture. Pink Lloyd, and I'm guessing he's a fan favorite up there. He certainly attracted my attention, and I love following him. We, on visits up there, we have talked to Robert Tiller about the horse and watched the horse work out. But a couple of weeks ago, he looked pretty good, getting his first win of the season in the Bold Venture. That had to be, as I say, kind of a fan favorite victory.
Yeah, he definitely is, and he actually worked this morning in a nice, easy 48. You know, the last start, there was a notable horse missing, Superstone Hinge, which has been tough for him. But, you know, at his age, he's still back, and he did still win a stake race. So he's still going pretty good.
Yeah, again, the elder statesman, but those are the kind that are kind of fun to root for. And Ernie, before we let you go, also, just reading your Twitter last night, do you make the morning line?
I do, yes.
I did not realize that. Talk a little bit about that process.
I've been doing it for... you know, time's gone so fast, Seth, I don't even know how long I've been doing it, but a good 8 years now, 7-8 years. It's tough every day, you know, it's different horse. I mean, a lot of people look at it in the same horses, but people have to understand I'm just trying to make what, you know, these odds should be at the end of the race, what it's going to look like, just to give you an idea. Obviously, once the window's open, you know, my odds go out the window, but if I'm right at the end of the day and I'm close to the morning line odds, then I've done a good job. Not necessarily picking winners with the morning line. It's just how I feel the public is going to wager.
Yeah, and that is worth reiterating for people. You are not trying to say this horse is going to be the winner. You're trying to predict where the betting public is going to go, which is a whole different process, really. I have a lot of respect for the folks that do the morning line. It is a very tough job. And up here at Saratoga, I say it, and you have to run into it up there as well, but we have a lot of the two-year-old races at Saratoga. I'm imagining on the morning line side of things, those are the toughest races to come up with a morning line for. The two-year-old races where all or many of them haven't started yet.
Absolutely, but I'm lucky that I get to see them in the morning,
yeah.
Right? So, you know, I time them in the morning, and, you know, it's a very small community on the backside, and a lot of people chatter, and, you know, you hear things, well, that one worked good, and that one worked good. So, you know, they're going to take money and things like that. But other than that, just to look at it plain, I mean, it is tough. You have to go by connections, obviously. Breeding you can go by, but those races are tough when you know, if a lot of them work well, you know, you still got to decide who's going to be the favorite, and they're definitely tough.
Yeah, and I will say, I think you do a great job up there just kind of looking at the Woodbine program day in and day out. So, again, I do not envy that position. So, congratulations on, you know, again, doing a pretty good job day in and day out up there. I didn't realize you did that. Again, I appreciate the work, and I appreciate the clocking work you do in the morning. And, again, appreciate your thoughts on this afternoon's races. Wish you and everybody up at Woodbine a great afternoon with the Grade 1 E.P. Taylor and beyond. And Ernie, we'll talk again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and hopefully I'll see you next year in Saratoga, if not up here.
Yeah, I was about to say before I let you go, hopefully we do get you maybe to sit in with us on the backstretch at Saratoga, because, as I say, we haven't been able to make it up there, and you guys weren't able to make it down to us this year, but hopefully that next year that changes in both directions, and we can get up there, and you can get down here, and we'll see you in person.
That would be fantastic.
Absolutely. Ernie, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ernie Perry from Woodbine. Again, a couple of nice stakes races this afternoon. As Ernie said, they will remain on the grass, so that's good news up there. All right, let's continue taking a look at some of the stakes action from last week at Keeneland. Because, again, there's potentially some Breeders' Cup action coming out of these. And wouldn't be shocked to see Breeders' Futurity winner be one of those that proves to be a horse that does have some Breeders' Cup potential. And the Breeders' Futurity field of 13, the favorite wound up to be Classic Causeway. No shock there. Classic Causeway, of course, having won very convincingly up at Saratoga in the lone start of the career, and did it in fine fashion with a buyer figure of, and I'm just kind of trying, it was a solid buyer figure, let me put it that way, and I'm missing my notes here, but we will watch the stretch run. Classic Causeway, the drawback was left from the 13, and you can see on the rail here, the 13 is a little bit of a tough pull, you know, especially for a two-year-old, lightly raced two-year-old, to wind up getting it done, and gets passed pretty well by Rattle and Roll, going out for Ken McPeak. Double Thunder gets up for second. Classic Causeway winds up third. Again, I wouldn't write off Classic Causeway with a situation like that, because, as I say, you know, that one, lightly raced and up against it a little bit, given the scenario from the outside 13 post. And again, now I have the PPs here. It was a 90 buyer in that career debut up at Saratoga. It's only the second start. Comes out of that probably with some good experience. So, as I say, I wouldn't write off by any means Classic Causeway. It was maybe up against it a little bit in the second start. And so the third isn't that bad. But Rattle and Roll, on the other hand, goes out for Ken McPeak. This was the fifth start of the career. If you looked at the PPs there, debuted in June at Churchill and ran an okay third behind Gunite and Brigadier General. Then in the second start of the career, goes up to Saratoga and bolts on the far turn. Well, Ken McPeak subsequently said the horse came back to the barn and the eye was irritated, so they think the horse got hit with a clod or something, and that, you know, freaked the horse out a little bit and caused that horse to bolt. Comes back in the next race and wins down at Churchill. So you can kind of, it was a tough debut. The second race of the career had an excuse, and then wins the third start. So the horse was maybe better than those first two races showed. So again, rattle and roll, as they say. There may be some Breeders' Cup implications there that make him worth watching going forward. All right, let's also move on and take a look a little bit earlier on the card last week to yet another very, very nice runner. We will go to the TCA, Thoroughbred Club of America, and Bell's the One went off as even money favorite, a little more than even money, $1.10 to the dollar. I had Bell's the One on top. Frank's Roquette was in here. Estilo Talentosa, also talented. But Bell's the One, the number six horse. Ding Dong Battle, but does get it done late. Just getting up a chart margin again, a neck over Club Car. Estilo Talentosa runs second. Club Car, the second longest price on the board. The number two horse gets up there and splits the two favorites, 6-5. Or even money on Bell's the One and Estilo Talentosa at 5-2, but the 14-1 splits them. But Bell's the One, as I say, she was on top for me on a really talented career so far. 10 wins and 21 starts, well over $1 million. She's had a pretty good season this year, kind of some nice battles with Wisconsin as well, but gets it done last week in the TCA. And finally, wanted to also show the Woodford because Golden Pal looked very good in there. Golden Pal, the 1-2 favorite, and no surprise, I had the horse on top. Was coming off a disappointing effort over in Europe, but you always have to tip your hat to Wesley Ward for trying that. This horse, Golden Pal, had a nice two-year-old career and then laid off from November of last year until July of this year and won the quick call up at Saratoga. Went over and tried Europe, ran seventh there, but comes back last Saturday, and you can see wins pretty easily as the 1-2 favorite with an 88 buyer for Wesley Ward. John Velasquez on board as well. So there was some of the stakes action from last week at Keeneland, and as I say, there are some Breeders' Cup implications you would assume coming out of those races. So did want to give you a look at those. But it excuse me, it was a couple of nice weeks. Certainly. Again, the stakes action was a little light here yesterday, but you toss in Ascot and Champions Day and Far Hills on the jump side was fun. And then you go back to last weekend, there was a lot of nice stakes action. In New York as well, there was some nice stakes. But I think the Breeders' Cup implications tilted more towards the results at Keeneland last week. All right, do want to remind you that you can come to the Clubhouse Racebook today for some football and some racing action. Wear your jersey, you get in for free. Root for your team, put your name on a square, maybe a winter jersey or a restaurant voucher. Football Sundays throughout the season at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Also, don't forget, you can reserve a seat for the Breeders' Cup, $5 reservation, and you get a glass as well. That's for the Saturday Breeders' Cup day here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Stop on by, reserve your seat, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Don't forget, I'm glad Kim brought it up, because tomorrow up at Saratoga, Facing Tipton, if you've gone to the sale, you know what the sale is like. This sale is a little bit different. You're not going to see them knocking it out of the park with seven-figure sales. This is a little more, excuse me, you and I could bring our credit cards and pick up some of these horses. Not to say that some of these purchases don't turn out to be nice horses. It's just a little bit of a different situation and a little bit of a different quality kind of a sale. I mean, the summer sale is one of the top sales in the country. Excuse me. But it's an all-day kind of an affair up at Saratoga, and it happens tomorrow. So go up, and as they say, if you can't get enough of the racing season, you have one more shot at going up and checking out some horses and horse people up at Saratoga. If you've never been to the sale, it's fun. There's a little paddock out in the back, and they walk the horses around prior to going into the pavilion, and you can stand out there and bring some friends. You'll meet some friends, and it's a fun day that kind of gets you up close and personal to a little bit of a different side of the game, watching the auction situation. But as they say, that's tomorrow up at Saratoga. And just see if I can. I had the website here a moment ago. It kicks off at 10 a.m. That's what I thought. So that is tomorrow, Monday. And if again, if you've never been, The racetrack's on Union Avenue. East Avenue is that main entrance to the racetrack on Union Avenue. But if rather than go into the racetrack, you go up East Avenue. It's literally like two blocks up. You'll see the sales pavilion. You will not miss it. And I'm assuming if you're driving through the neighborhood, that will be where it is obvious all the people are headed tomorrow. I would not think on a Monday there's much else going on in that neighborhood other than the sales. So again, maybe you'll see me there. I'll swing by at some point and enjoy some of the sales action tomorrow up in Saratoga. As again, that kind of puts an exclamation point every year on the horses in Saratoga. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. I'll be back in about an hour and a half or so with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. We'll take a look at some Belmont, some Keeneland. Again, the two nice stakes races at Woodbine coming up a little bit later today as well. Plus, much, much more. Looking forward to it. Hopefully you are too. So stay tuned up in about an hour and a half, OTB Live. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.